Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. On this Friday, we're live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes. Always enjoy our time here, and we always enjoy our time with the man, Christopher Dwayne Sanders, who joins us now on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. Chris, what's up?
Man, what is going on, fellas? All I got to say is two words, Cam Ward. That's all I'm going to say.
I mean, you're in, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's written all on the board. I mean, when he steps foot off the plane, I mean, he's going to be the face of this franchise. I mean, he's going to be doing, you know, all kind of commercials, like Chuck E. Cheese and fitness commercials, all kind of stuff he's going to be doing. So it's going to be interesting. So we're just going to be, you know, he's going to be the guy.
So I've been having fun with this ESPN Analytics draft simulator that you can do trades and you can do the whole seven rounds and everything. And so I did another one last night where I picked Cam at 1-1. I traded 35, the second round pick for the Titans. I traded that to Dallas, and I got their – basically I got 44, which was their second rounder, and I got their third rounder, which is pick 76, and I gave them one of – I have two fourth rounders, so I gave them one of the fourth rounders. So now I have a third rounder too. And every simulation I've done where I take Cam Ward, the second round pick, I get Jaden Higgins, the wide receiver from Ohio State. You like that?
No. You said Jaden Higgins is from Iowa State.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Iowa State. I'm sorry. Yeah, I do. I mean, it's funny because me and TD, we talked about him. TD doesn't like him. I mean, I like him a little bit. I just think that, yes, he makes plays, but there's – we want to see some more explosiveness. I mean, there's some other guys that you can pick, like Bo Collins. Bo Collins, for, I think it's from Notre Dame. And you got, I know Matthew Golden's not going to be there, but there's some guys that you can take because at the end of the day, you have to get an explosive receiver for Calvin Ridley. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. I mean, because at the end of the day, if you look at the wide receiver room that the Tennessee Titans have, it really doesn't scare you. You have some guys in the room, but you don't have some guys that scare you. So maybe one of those guys we just talked about.
I love it. Chris, you ready?
Yes, sir. Oh, that's my song. Give it to
go,
me.
Go, Nick.
I toss and turn in my bed. I toss and turn in my bed. In the morning when I think about you. Indeed, I do.
I need you to come to the draft show in 2 weeks and wear that cod piece.
Champ, I'm – oh, no. No.
You can't wear it as a guy – good as a guy that Cameo can? Come on.
Champ, if I wore that, they – I can't
D-Mace will give you a hard time.
No, everybody. It'll be on ESPN. It'll be on, you know, Jeopardy. It'll be on everything, man. I could – no way.
Oh, my God. I'm dying. I'd love to see it, man.
Too. Could you imagine me in my wide receiver gear and I had that on? Just the
oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. All right. So, you know, let's take you back when you were 13 days out of the draft. Take me back to the draft for you in 1995 when you know you're getting drafted. What's that like, the 2 weeks out for you? I mean, can you concentrate? I mean, I know people are talking left and right. Where are you going? What's going on? I got to think there's a million things going through like a Cam Ward's head, but also for when you did it.
I just think that it's just the uncertainty, you know, because I was a third-round draft pick, and I didn't know where I was going. You know how you had the draft pick guys, the gurus saying he might get drafted, he might be a free agent, he might go second round. So just not actually knowing where I'm going, had the anticipation, sweating at night and can't sleep. But when the draft day came on, you know, I turn on the TV, I'm sitting there with my mom, and, you know, we're both sweating and we don't know where we're going. But, you know, it was kind of surreal, you know, because when they finally went up there and said my name, you know, they said it at the bottom, the Houston Oilers/Tennessee Titans select Chris Sanders from The Ohio State University. That's when it set in that I'm actually getting drafted, I'm actually in the NFL, and I actually fulfill one of my dreams. So, you know, just waiting the 2 days before because you have the uncertainty, it's just, man, it's like every nail that I had on my fingers was absolutely bitten to the core. That's how nervous I was.
Where did you think you were going?
You know, I had no idea. You know, I put myself in position to – to open up some eyes in the combine and the individual workouts. Because when I ran 4.21 in my individual workouts, I opened up a lot of eyes. Woo! I didn't really know where I was going. But, you know, you have a situation to where you're sitting there and you're like, well, I can go here and I can go there. I just didn't know. I just didn't know. So once I figured it out that I got drafted third round, then that's when I was very, very excited.
Do you remember what team talked to you more than any other team? Because what I'm getting at, it seems like when a team talks to you the most, they don't draft you.
Do you know the Houston Oilers didn't talk to me at all? The team that talked to me the most, they didn't. I promise you, they didn't. I'm surprised they drafted me because I thought the Washington Redskins at that time, now to call the Commanders, I thought they were going to draft me because, you know, Rubisky was the wide receiver at that time, and he brought me into one of the offices at Ohio State, and he was talking to me about coverages and routes and everything. So I'm like, man, I'm going to the Washington Redskins. Next you know, they drafted somebody that I didn't know, and I'm sitting there pouting and crying, and then I got drafted third round. So it was wild because the teams that don't talk to you are the teams that are laying in the cut waiting to get you.
Chris Sanders is on the line with us, forever Titans wide receiver. So we talked in the last segment about Jeffrey Simmons. He did an interview with our friend Jill Jelinek from Fox 17 and kind of opened up on some things. But, you know, I think it's clear sometimes that stuff gets to him, whether he goes on Twitter or he says it, you know, in the media that and some guys are wired that way. How difficult is it? And I know, like, when you played, there wasn't Twitter. Yes. You probably had a different opinion. But like, how hard is it to try and put the noise out and not let that bother you? And if it does bother you, how can you use it in a positive way?
You know, you got to – and I know this sounds kind of fun. It's like when you have a winter storm, you put on earmuffs so it takes out the cold. And that's what you have to do when you hear all the negative noise and the negative chatter. You have to put on earmuffs because when you look at the internet, they're talking about everything. You're not a good player. You suck. You can't do this. So and you can say this, and I know I say everybody says this quote all the time, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a complete lie because words hurt. So what you have to do is you have to ignore the chat. You got to ignore what they say in the paper. You have to ignore what they say about you and understand who you are. Because when I first came out in the NFL or, you know, when I was about to get drafted, all they said is he's a track guy trying to play football. He can't catch the football. He can't do this. So that started to affect my psyche to be like, okay, wait, can I catch the ball? So what I had to do is I had to ignore it and say, you know what, I am a great player. I am a great route runner. I can make plays. So when you have a situation to where you're looking at Twitter, you're looking at the paper, you're looking at all these things, you have to put on those earmuffs and drown out the noise with positive stuff.
Chris, I'm ready for the draft to get here.
Me too.
I'm tired of the speculation. It is almost time. We look forward to having you be a part of things once again, and I hope you have a great weekend.
Love you guys, man. Appreciate you.
Yeah, we love you too. Chris Sanders, forever Titans wide receiver, joining us here on the program, and always love our conversations with him. We'll react to some of the things he had to say. I also did another draft. So
oh, God.
I'm obsessed
Love
with
it.
This thing.
Did you get the Dykes guy again, please?
No, not yet.
Okay. Still early.
Not yet.
Lord.
But we'll talk about that much more. 615-737-1025. So our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chase and Big Joe presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, where we are today at Kitchen Notes, 1025-1063 The Game. Chase and Big Joe live at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Dr. Crane is at the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership. With a buzz, it's always about great service. We'll have Greg Wyshynski join us here in just a few minutes, talk some hockey with him. We're both obsessed with this NFL draft simulator from ESPN Analytics. Like, I've done like 7 of these, and I know that, you know, it is what it is, but I keep ending up with some of the same picks whenever I do this on certain things. So I did another one just now. No trades, just stayed where the Titans were picking. Cam Ward, number 1 overall. Jaden Higgins at 35.
Mrs. Higgins.
Gunnar Helm, tight end at pick 103. Then I addressed defense with the next two picks. Josiah Stewart, edge rusher from Michigan at 120. And then at 141, Tyrion Ingram Dawkins, edge rusher from Georgia.
Georgia.
Round five, Seth McLaughlin, a center guard from The Ohio State.
Hold on. Give it to me. Good. Keep going.
Pick 178, Dylan Fairchild from Georgia.
Georgia.
Right. And Joe's favorite, pick 188, wide receiver from Florida.
Oh, no.
Shamir Dyke.
You have picked this Dyke guy every draft. What is it about? If we don't get this guy, if the Titans don't get this Dykes guy, then there's a problem. Oh, show.
I know, right? By the way, during all that, we had like three people like look in here like, oh, what are these guys doing?
Yeah, it's like, oh, my gosh. All right, I like that. So I did one now. So this is fun now for me.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at teams that are drafting up, not a quarterback. What's stopping the Arizona Cardinals from moving up from 16 to 1 to get Travis Hunter? They're desperate. They got the Marvin Harrison Jr. You get Murray. They re-signed their tight end.
Yeah.
To the biggest tight end deal ever. Now you get Travis Hunter.
Trey McBride.
Trey McBride, yes. Yeah. I get confused because there was a Titans player named Trey McBride.
There was a Trey McBride, yeah.
So the Cardinals, and you get their first, second, and third rounder. 16, 78, or 16 something else, and 115. I don't know. This is fun. I can't go. I mean, there's all the guys I've never heard of, but.
Well, okay, if I'm going to do that, like if you're going to go back down that far, then I'm probably going to try and then move back up into the top 10. This team needs a top 10 pick.
Okay.
I mean, I get what you're saying, getting all the – so who'd you end up taking?
Some tight end from Michigan, Colton Loveland.
Yeah, at 16?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a top 10 pick there.
All right, what's next?
I can't tell these guys play. I'm not Jaden Higgins is still sitting there. All right. Yeah.
Higgins?
We're going to take Mrs. Higgins. We'll take that. Higgins is always sitting there. I'm not taking an offensive lineman from Ohio State. I'm not doing that. We saw that with Petit Frere, who was just awful. I wonder who Petit Frere's picking. Isn't he doing some
I don't know.
Fantasy league or something
like
that?
He's like a fantasy analyst, I believe.
Oh, I'm sure that goes really good. I'm telling you, man, they should trade with the Cardinals. They could really –
There's a lot of, like, Teron and I are texting about this. He just sent me his. Like, there's a lot of people, and I did this in one of my mock drafts that, you know, when you get into, like, 100 to 120 trying to get Xavier Restrepo to get Cam Ward his safety blanket, you know, guy that he knows from Miami. I don't hate that. I think taking a flyer on Restrepo is fine.
Yes. Yeah.
I would do that.
Right.
I would totally do that. TD has them taking Kyle Kennard. They trade into the third round at 84. Edge rusher from South Carolina. I would love Kyle Kennard.
So I've gotten the tight end from Michigan. I've gotten – and this is really good radio. Tight end from Michigan. I got the receiver from Iowa State, and I got the edge rusher from Oregon. I mean, if Borgonzi's listening, he should say, you know what? This Dubin guy's got something working over there. See what he's got going on.
Maybe.
I'm right. I mean,
how funny would it be if they have the show on right now and like they're like, wait. Hang on. They like this guy. We don't have him on our board. Right. Should we look into this?
Yeah. And by the way, Borgonzi,
who's this Dyke guy?
And Borgonzi, in my 26 years of playing fantasy football, I went to the playoff 21 times.
Yeah.
Won 3 championships, made the final game 8 times. So I know what I'm doing. I got my fantasy football. I know what I'm doing with these guys.
You remember the movie, was it Invincible, about Vince Papale?
Yeah.
Could you imagine that a team, you know, like just goes out one day and they go, look, you know, we've had no luck at all. So we want one of you slappies to come down here and interview with us to be our GM, and we're going to hire you to be the GM. And they just hire some random guy and watch them win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, somebody hires Stillman to be the GM.
Right. It's the old, like, picking the
– I actually think Stillman would – be okay.
Picking something in football games, somebody was like, yeah, my wife just picks who the cute mascot is.
Right.
And they win. I was like, holy cow. There's no rhyme or reason to what you're doing there. I don't know when you get – this thing takes forever, though. And that's what she said.
That is what she said.
All right, so I got Colston. So I got – so I with the Cardinals, I got – there's 16.
Hang on.
Yeah.
Nick, is it – I mean, are you serious about this?
No. I wanted to play a joke. I can't go through with this. My conscience can't do
okay.
it.
All right, so who is this actually?
The Donut Man.
I would have killed you. Not really, but like, all right, let's go to the Donut Man. He puts on the call screener possibly Mike Borgonzi. I'm like, what? Why is he calling
There's
in?
There's no way that dude's calling
it's
in.
It's Clay. Hi, Clay.
Boys, we talked about the Masters any today?
No.
No, we have not.
I was actually there yesterday, and I'm headed back to Nashville.
Oh, nice. Great.
Did you get a pimento and cheese sandwich?
God.
I got two ham and cheese sandwiches, a drink, and a chocolate chip cookie for about $8.
That's awesome.
Wow. That's great, man. Matt makes me want to go to the Masters now.
Yeah, I tell you, I'm stuck in traffic. I'm almost back to Chattanooga, and I'm in bad traffic right now on 75.
Where?
But.
Are you in Dalton, Georgia? Where are you?
I just passed Dalton, yeah. I just passed Dalton.
Carpet capital of the world.
That's
is it really?
Right. I stopped at Bucky's about 20 miles south of Dalton.
Did you see Joe's picture hanging in there? They supposedly have hung up a picture of Joe.
Yep.
I want to hear the promo, boys, of my laugh. I've never heard it.
No, Dr. Crane has it. It's a drop ready to go.
All right. Nothing will beat, though, the day I called in, you know, and I did not know I was on the air. If you boys remember that, it was when I went to the bowl game.
Oh, yeah. We remember.
Oh, yeah.
Don't worry.
Clay, the look on Chase's face is something I'll never forget, ever. And I take blame because he wanted to hang up on him. Ah, leave him on the line for a second. Awful. Clay, were you down there for one day at the Masters or 2 days? How long were you down there for?
I was down there just for yesterday. I drove down Wednesday afternoon and went to the tournament yesterday.
Where'd you spend the night?
Yeah, I met a friend of mine. A friend of mine that lives in Houston had tickets, and he invited me to meet him there and go to the tournament yesterday. Yeah, it was a blast.
Oh, nice. Did you stay a hotel room in Augusta, or did you have to drive back or something?
Yes, we stayed at Holiday Inn Express on Washington Road about a mile from the course, had shuttle service to the course, and back home.
And the whole Holiday Inn, all they heard was, those aren't pillows!
You know, I have a claim to fame in Nashville sports talk radio. Did y'all
getting
know
banned
that?
From Vanderbilt?
Yeah, I'm the only fan that calls in to Nashville sports talk radio that's banned from his favorite school. And I wear that proudly, you know.
Yes, you should. Clay, we got to run on that, but thanks as always.
See you, boys.
See ya. Thank you, Clay, for joining in. Coming up next, we'll talk to Greg Wyshynski. The playoffs are almost set. It is almost here. We'll do that coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Ah, one of the greatest sports themes. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 the game here on this Friday. We're live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes. And time now to talk to our man Greg Wyshynski, senior NHL writer at ESPN. Brought to you by Old National Bank. Get old. And, Greg, last week we thought it was close, and Alex Ovechkin breaks the record, and he is the all-time goal scorer in the NHL. I'm curious. I don't know if you have this data or not, but I would love to know how many people bet that he would score a hat trick on ESPN Bet for that game Friday night.
And how many people were losing their minds when he decided not to come out and score the empty netter? to break the record on home ice. I mean,
I know.
I don't have that data in front of me. I can tell you though, from the folks at ESPN Bet that I know, and some of them have written about this on the site, that was like an historic prop bet. The people that were tailing Ovechkin during this record chase, like they were setting records, not only you know on ESPN Bet, but other places. Insofar as the volume of money coming in on whether, you know, Ovechkin was going to score a goal that night, it was pretty impressive. But I wasn't there for the tying goal. I was at the Islanders game when he broke the record. And that was a real cool moment. And as much as I was, like, bummed that he didn't get the hat trick in front of the home fans and you know, be able to celebrate in Washington breaking the Gretzky record, to see him do it in the manner in which he did against the Islanders, scoring from the OV spot, doing the thing he had done so many times and being able to achieve this record with a rip-roaring shot through a bunch of defensemen on the power play, there definitely was something much more satisfying about that than if he had just completed the hat trick with an empty netter.
So now that this is, you know, I don't want to say out of the way, but now that he's accomplished this, they wrap up the top seed in the East. I mean, what are the chances you give this Washington team to make a run?
I think they're pretty good. I think they're a really good hockey team. I that win over Carolina was really important for them because they honestly hadn't been playing great. And a lot of us who had been around the Capitals these last few weeks were curious whether the hype train surrounding Ovechkin and trying to break this record had kind of maybe like derailed the Capital season a little bit. They had done such a good job, and Spencer Carberry, their coach, deserves a lion's share of this credit, keeping focused throughout the season and with all of this Gretzky chase stuff happening in the background. I think, you know, once Gretzky and the commissioner start showing up for every game, it gets really real. And you know, now there's like tons more media. I do think it became a distraction towards the end of the run. So for them to get the win and look like themselves was real proof of concept that, yeah, you know, we're going to get back on track. We got a week before the playoff starts. I think a lot of people are dismissing them because outside of Ovi, they're not really a star-driven team. But they play a really, really good system. I think they're strong at 5-on-5. And drawing Montreal in the first round is going to be a little scary for Caps fans who remember when another plucky Canadiens team that had nothing to lose upset them 15 years ago in the Yaroslav Halak series. But if you look at Montreal and their underlying numbers at even strengths, I'd be surprised if the Capitals couldn't take advantage of it and at least get to the second round.
Greg, last night the Nashville Predators made their first visit to Utah. Fun game to watch, fun crowd, and I'm going to ask this question about Utah. How do you, after moving from Arizona there, I mean, this team, this franchise, that city, there's a lot of upside on that hockey club. Even though they're not going to make the playoffs, they got a pretty good future here. At least, I think, after watching what I saw last night with all the ambiance around this franchise currently.
Yeah, it's funny that there was always this discussion in Utah about when Arizona clearly had to move, whether the owners in Utah were going to be cool taking on an existing team or if they were going to hold out for an expansion team, given how the current rules have set up Vegas and Seattle, for example, so well. And I always said, you know, if there's a team that you want to take over, it's the Coyotes. Like, they have a ton of draft capital. They already had a bunch of really good young players on the roster, including Logan Cooley and Clayton Keller. They had a bunch more, especially on defense, in their system that was ready to come through. So I think Utah really lucked out by getting a team that had been rebuilding for a couple of seasons and already had a bunch of young guys ready to make the NHL or already on the roster. The intriguing part about what they do next, though, is, look, I mean, Ryan Smith spent a lot of money to buy this team. You know, he's got his own people at the tippy top of the franchise in hockey operations. Those people did not hire this GM. They did not hire this coach. It will be interesting to see if because Utah did not make the playoffs, if there is any turnover for GM Bill Armstrong or with their coach because of, you know, ownership and management just not having been a part of bringing them onto the organization. And then the other intrigue, too, is, like, they were already aggressive last summer in making the Mikhail Sergachev trade in trying to make this team better. They have every reason to want to continue to make a splash in a new market. How aggressive will they be in free agency? How aggressive will they be in maybe utilizing some of that draft capital and maybe even trying to offer sheet somebody?
How much do you pay attention to a team when they get to the playoffs? Like, Dallas has lost four straight, but I think Dallas, the stars are going to be there. Do you put a lot of into that tank of like, oh, they're peaking at the right time, oh, they've lost four going into the playoffs, all that? How do you look at that when you get to the extra season?
Depends on the team. Like, there are good teams that stumble into the playoffs, and you're just like, you guys are just bored. Like, you just want to get there. I get it. You know, like, these games at the end of the season are meaningless. Like, half you guys are taken off. It's a bunch of guys from the AHL coming up and getting their reps in. So I don't put a ton of stock into some teams when they kind of coast into the playoffs on some bit of a losing streak. Where I do pay attention to it is if there are teams that are lower seeds, wild card teams, for example, that come in absolutely on fire. The greatest lesson I ever learned about that was that Blue Jackets Lightning series a few years back, when the Lightning were the best team in hockey. They were in cruise control for 2 months. The Blue Jackets basically played a playoff game every night just to get into the postseason, and then they just beat the snot out of Tampa and swept them in the first round because of that sort of differentiation in momentum. And so I really pay attention to the lower seeded teams and how they're playing rather than the higher seeded teams. And if you're Dallas, the wins and losses and the standings don't matter. It's the loss of your best defenseman in a series against the Colorado Avalanche that has me really concerned about a team that I think, when healthy, could win the Cup this year.
Greg Oshinsky is with us from ESPN here on the Chasing Big Joe show. So I had a good friend of mine ask me about a long shot bet for the Stanley Cup. I mean, is it St. Louis? Could they do this again?
They could. When they're locked in, they've shown already that they're a pretty great hockey team. And obviously, it took a little bit of time for Jim Montgomery to really get them to buy in and play the totality of his system. And once they did, they started rocketing up the standings. They're a dangerous team, no doubt. I'd have to check the odds to see, you know, what the ones in the Eastern Conference look like, because honestly, I feel like the East is a little bit more wide open than the West is right now. The West, you could easily see the winner of that Dallas-Colorado series winning the whole conference. I think Vegas is probably in that boat too, as far as teams where if they're at full strength and there's a little bit of injury question with them right now, could win the conference. I'm fading Edmonton. Not only because of the inconsistency of their play this year, but because I don't think that they can depend on that goaltending 2 years straight. But, you know, with the East being the way that it is, you could easily see somebody jump up that we're not talking about right now and potentially win that conference. I mean, heck, we were just talking about Washington. I know at last check their Stanley Cup odds are pretty long. Like, there's a ton of value, I think, in some of those teams in the East right now.
Going to be interesting, almost here, and then we'll have an off season to talk about what the Preds are going to do. Greg, appreciate it as always.
Anytime. Thanks, boys.
Greg Wyshynski, senior NHL writer from ESPN, joining us here on the Chasing Big Joe show, presented by Old National Bank. Get old. Coming up next, we'll say goodbye to a old friend, and also, what day is it? And celebrity birthdays. It's Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. I feel like I'm about to read the card for WrestleMania with this song. Live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes. And, you know, if you heard the end of Robbie and Rex Road, you heard that Nick Kieser, the reporter, the nickname that I'll take credit for that one, that I gave him early in his career, is leaving us on to bigger and better things, but we wanted to give him an opportunity on this show because you did spend some time in this time slot with me and Michelle when we did the show, and you were one of the you were a part-timer when I first took over, but one of the first moves that I made, I think, moving you into kind of an EP role. But excited to see you continue to grow. We're obviously going to miss you here, but wanted to treat you to some breakfast and have you come down here with us for a little bit. I think you're on now.
Yes.
Talk.
Hey, Nick.
Hello.
I'll talk for Nick. Yeah, Chase, thanks for the opportunity you gave me when I was here. And I made a lot of good friends around there.
Well, it's on, and he's not.
Walking in there with and seeing my Nashville's media darling,
Hello.
Big Joe.
There we go. Yeah, there it is.
Thank you, Joe.
Yeah.
You bet, buddy.
That one.
Good impression.
Yeah, so, you know, we're excited for you and whatever is next. But like I said, yeah, we will miss you around here.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. As I was telling the guys this morning, you know, growing into a role that I knew nothing about at first when I jumped into it, it was a lot of fun. And like I
don't know if you really still know, you know anything, but no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, well, no, Porth, I mean, look, the sentence and everything that I quoted in my story, you know, he threw the kitchen sink at me and then handed me off to you after he quickly departed a few months later for Chicago. But look, it's been a lovely ride. I've enjoyed it. You guys have given me a lot of opportunity here and room for me to explore my passion. So, yeah, it's been good. So
Did you post a story?
I did on Substack.
I don't know what that is.
Where?
Substack.
Is that a place that makes subs?
That's the main thing now.
Oh,
Substack?
I see it now.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I write a lot of it. I mean, I think I've heard about it.
I got a portfolio website, but I wanted to do something different for this to kind of get it started since – the brand is going elsewhere for myself.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's just lower broad. So, and then I've also, like, my own portfolio will be Beyond the Point. Mick Frazier helped me out with that. So, thank you, Dr. Crane, for that. I really do appreciate
that.
So.
Beyond the Point.
Yeah. So.
Yes. Very, very cool. I know, you know, you're kind of the one that when people leave, you've put together a little thing for them. So
yeah.
Obviously we couldn't have you do that for yourself, even though that would have been kind of funny. So Dr. Crane took the liberty, and I know a few people have made some additional comments on top of what we have to say. So here you go.
Sure.
Hey, Keezer, it's Newt. Just wanted to wish you good luck in the future. You know, you and I have been through a lot together. I started as your intern, kind of worked my way up to do preds with you, and we've been friends. We had the show together for a while, and really just want to wish you luck. Hope we get to see you soon. Hope we're still friends throughout all of this, and really, man, we're going to miss you around here, so good luck.
Keezer, Adam Vingan here. Congratulations on your next steps. We'll miss you dearly. I particularly will miss making fun of you on a daily basis, but I do it out of love. I know you're off to bigger and better things. I can't wait to see what you get into. Good luck, my friend.
Hey, Nick, it's Michelle here. Just wanted to say congratulations on your last day at the game. Looking forward to see you grow in the hockey world. The best is yet to come. Good luck.
Hey, Keezer, it's Jake Lyman. Wanted to say thank you for everything you've done for me over the past 2 years and wish you luck moving forward. I know you'll do great in your next steps.
Hey, Nick, producer Ian Safar here. Just wanted to say it's been great working with you over the last couple of years. You've been a huge help to me and our entire station. I know Robbie and Joe are going to miss your energy in the mornings, and hopefully I can keep these guys on the rails for you. Wishing you the best of luck as you continue your path on becoming not only a hockey reporter, but the hockey reporter.
When I first met Nick, I thought, this dude's a bit of an odd bird. And now with Nick leaving the game, I think, this dude is a bit of an odd bird. Best of luck to you, my friend. Thanks for everything you've done for me at the game. And let me know if I can ever be of help.
Nick Keezer leaving? That just can't happen. Here's a guy who is always ready to run a Predators report, even if there wasn't a game the night before, or even if the season is over. But I got to tell you, Nick, I am very much appreciative of what you have done, and I know this is running long, but by God, you deserve it. Nick, all the best to you in the future.
Nick Keezer, my friend, you are part of history. You are one of three full-time producers in the history of the Robbie and Rex Road program. Marquise Munson, Michelle Knezovic, and Nick Keezer. And I want to tell you, my friend, that you are unequivocally, without question, beyond argument, no questions asked, no response can be given. You are on the Mount Rushmore of the greatest producers in the history of the Robbie and Rex Show program. Congratulations, my friend. And in all seriousness, Nick, we're going to miss you dearly. You have brought a lot of life, a lot of professionalism, a lot of joy, a lot of fun to this show. And we can't wait to watch what happens for you from here. The life you and Kristen build. I know you love hockey. You have a passion for covering hockey. You're going to do it at a high level. And we can't wait to watch it unfold. Thanks for everything. We love you, brother. Good luck.
Keezer, I'm really proud of you. Really proud of the work that you've done on our show and excited to see where things go for you in your career. I know you've got a huge passion for hockey, and that's going to serve you well as you move forward. You're going to do great things in that business. So I can't wait to watch it. Really thankful for you and the work that you've done with us, and proud to call you a friend, my man.
Well, very well done. Good job, Dr. Crane, for putting that together. Leave it to Paul Kaharsky. You know, like I said, when I took over as program director, you had been here for a couple months as a part-timer, and I think you've heard me give this speech of you have to create your own opportunities, and that's certainly something that you did. I'm not going to say you're an odd bird. You're unique. You are, and that's a credit.
Yeah.
That's a compliment. You are your own person, and you're going to do great things, and I have no doubt that there's going to be one day that we're going to be saying, let's go to ESPN or whatever insider, Nick Keezer, who's on the line with us, because I know hockey is your passion, reporting is your passion, and as we've said many, as you and I have had in the conversations many times, you need to go chase your passion, go chase your dreams, and I'm living proof of what chasing your dreams can do. It's a hard road, but, and Joe is as well, but we're proud of you, we're going to miss you, and definitely wish you the best. You're welcome back anytime.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, well done, Dr. Crane.
Joe, do you have anything to add?
I mean, he knows how I feel.
Yeah, Donaldson's finest just over here.
Yeah, you two have a connection. So,
yeah, Big Joe, actually, short story. I remember when I was applying for the full-time position, I actually gave Big Joe a call. And he asked me about, what are you going to do if you didn't even do it? And I was like, you know,
did you apply for the full time?
I did. Yeah.
I don't remember you applying.
I did. It was listed, but yeah. And Big Joe and I had a conversation, and I was like, this would be a really good idea. No matter how long I get to do it, it would be a great thing for me. And it absolutely was. And it grew into Chase Willie DeMace. It grew into me playing the Ron Bump music sometimes. The Duke of Earl will live on forever and ever, for me at least. So there are several memories I can go on, for sure.
Did well, man. Proud of you, buddy.
Yeah. We usually would do celebrity birthdays and all that, but we wanted to give you some time.
Yeah.
So I could say hi. So this segment, Nick Keezer's Goodbye, is brought to you by Jarrett Companies, Inc., above and beyond industry standards. Just visit them at JarrettCompaniesInc.com. Lower Broad, we can see you.
Yeah.
See some of your work still.
Absolutely, yeah.
Like on the corner?
I guess so, yeah.
Okay.
Now, how are you going to get into the building? Because I have to take your credential today. So.
Oh, no.
No, I'm just kidding.
I have that worked out.
Yeah.
I am credentialed for the rest of – there's a very short time left.
Yes,
but we're all good
Three
to
games.
Go. Very few games,
Well,
yes.
Good luck. Don't be a stranger, and we'll see you soon.
Absolutely. Sounds good.
That is going to do it for us. Thanks to the Omni Nashville Hotel for having us. We will see you again on Monday. Joe, as we end our show –
We always end our show. Look, the weekend is here. Go out and do something good for yourself. It's not selfish. It's deserving. If you need to talk to somebody, you know what to do. On your cell phone, call or text 988. Somebody's always there to talk to you. Know that you are tremendously loved. We love you. More important, more than anything else in this world, God loves you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll, DVD coming up next. 102.5, 106.3, The Game.